Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Any of us look back and say interracial marriage should still be illegal on the day after Barack Obama is elected president of the United States?
If Barack Obama's parents were same-sex married, Barack Obama would have never been born.
Wouldn't it be cool if we could get 20,000 people having sex for seven straight days?
What we're saying is we're willing to accept some infanticide as the implication of our support for abortion.
Faith has sustained me through the challenges and the joys of my presidency, and faith will guide me for the rest of my days.
That's a pretty bleak picture. As the father of a teenaged daughter, I can tell you there's an awful lot of worry out there. Many things to be concerned about, even with the best of kids. You wonder what's going on. And then there is a culture that surrounds all of us, not only our teenagers, but all of us, in which we are truly immersed, sometimes immersed so deep we don't even see it, we're not even sensitive to it anymore, that can be charitably called highly sexualized. Look, there's nothing wrong with sex. It's God's good gift, but it's given in a container like marriage that keeps it safe for all of us. Well, that container seems to have been smashed into a million pieces with the sexual revolution. We're going to be talking about the impact of our sexually saturated culture on teenage girls, not just on women, but teenage girls, some of them tween girls as well. Colleen Carroll Campbell for the first part of this hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live this Thursday. It's the 20th of November. You can join us with questions or comments for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E, or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. A little bit later, audio open lines, your answer to this question. Are unions, labor unions I'm talking about here, are labor unions, is there something, I don't know, unchristian about them? I know that if you're of a certain political persuasion, you might think that unions are bad for the economy. Are they bad? We're going to be hearing a PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly story about a Catholic archdiocese that's refusing to work with the Catholic Schools Teachers Union. And then I want to know from you, does God's word forbid unions? Is there something wrong with it? Does God's word encourage something like labor unions? I know you got an opinion. I want to hear from you in about 10 minutes here on Issues Etc. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E, or email us with questions or comments, talkback@issuesetc.org. Colleen Carroll Campbell is St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center. She's author of the book, The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Colleen, give us a laundry list of, a short one, if you would, of things facing teenage or even tween girls today that didn't face girls that age before the sexual revolution.
Well, I think you identified the main problem, and that is the sexualization of girls in your introduction. There's just a great deal of pressure on girls today, beginning at an extremely young age, to be sexually appealing and sexually attractive. And this is for a whole host of reasons, I think certainly tracing back to the sexual revolution, also the porn epidemic in our culture, and this media culture. And when I say media, I'm talking about the internet, television, magazines, women's magazines, even tween magazines, all of these images that are just assaulting little girls from a very young age, telling them that their self-worth is tied up in their sexuality, And, you know, we're seeing this driven also by corporate America, you know, selling thongs and padded bras for six-year-olds. I'm not making those things up. Newsweek, I think it was, did a story a few years ago about the advent of prostitutes, kids who are, taking pole dancing classes as children whose moms are dressing them up to be as sexually provocative as possible. And they're literally, you know, not even preteens, some of these kids. And so there's just a great deal of pressure on girls today. And most of it seems to revolve around their sexuality and the fact that they're really assaulted with this highly sexualized culture from a very young age.
What does that pressure do to a young girl?
Well, for one thing, it deprives her of the chance any little girl should have, and that is to have an innocent, carefree childhood. Childhood isn't always carefree, of course. There are all sorts of factors that change, you know, that make that not always possible to achieve that ideal. But children should be protected, and their innocence should be protected, and their childhood protected. So what you've got are little girls who, instead of going for a bike ride and playing with their Barbies, which, and of course we can discuss Barbies, they raise some issues as well, but instead of doing those little girl type of things, they're already getting pressure either from adults, sometimes well-meaning, joking adults who don't realize the impact, but more importantly, I think, from our media culture, from TV, from the movies they see, from even if they don't watch those things, what their friends are bringing in. And this pressure to be thinking about marketing themselves as sexual objects from a very young age at a time when they don't even fully understand what that means. Of course, this then leads to situations where, you know, they're becoming sexually active at early ages. They're making decisions about their sexuality that they don't even comprehend the consequences, even begin to. And sometimes they're even using language that is laced with sexual innuendo that they don't even understand. They're just picking it up from TV. So in a sense, they're marketing themselves as sexual objects because they're being encouraged to do that. In another sense, though, they don't even know what the consequences are. They don't even know how they're being perceived sometimes in our culture, and that can be very dangerous.
I don't know where I heard this, but it was rather recently I heard someone talking about the sexualization of our youth in general, not just young women. And this was a physician saying, look, children are children for a reason, and adults are adults for a reason. And before a certain age, the human brain isn't wired for sex. And yet we're doing something, we're doing some kind of violence on the psyches of these young children by saying to them that they need to be familiar with and introduced to sexual matters before their brains can even comprehend it or handle it.
And I think that's exactly right. And their spirits as well, certainly. As Christians, we're looking at the formation of young souls. And when you see a soul bombarded with this kind of raunch and filth, and here I'm speaking not even just of an appropriate, you know, introduction to sexuality when the time comes, but I'm talking about the raunchy stuff that is unfortunately what they're going to get first and get most in our culture. It really has a distorting effect, and it, I think, plagues them down the road when they are seeking committed love, when they are, you know, marriageable age, and they don't even know what a commitment should be. They don't understand the purposes of sex because their first introduction to sex was that it's basically a contact sport. But there are also very physical, tangible consequences to this. A 2007 CDC report found that the suicide rate among preteen and teenage girls has jumped to its highest level in 15 years. We've got a 76% jump among suicides for girls ages 10 to 14, with hanging and suffocation becoming sort of the top methods. A lot of studies have traced a link between premature sexual activity and severe depression, which can sometimes obviously lead to suicide, and more commonly, problems with something like cutting, where girls are getting into self-mutilation as a way to relieve their anxiety, eating disorders, and girls reporting in various studies that they feel worthless and depressed, and often that's connected to their body image and to their sexual activity. The CDC also announced last spring that one in four American girls ages 14 to 19 has an STD. I mean, that's just an appalling number if you really think about it. You know, we often cluck about how the Victorians were so prudish and restrained women, and of course there were all sorts of problems with the way women have been treated in cultures such as that. But, you know, what do we really think of women and girls when we let them just just kind of be thrown to the wolves in a sense of our sexualized culture. It's a very, I think it's a real indictment of our culture, some of these statistics about teen girls.
Make the connection with only about a minute and a half here, Colleen, to feminism, where for somehow, I don't know how it happened, but somehow eventually in conjunction with the sexual revolution, the lie was perpetuated that for women, sex is female empowerment.
Well, I think there's a fundamental misunderstanding of freedom that lies at the root of feminism. This has impacted women of all ages, but I think it's especially impacting these young girls. This sense that freedom is the ability to do whatever I want, whenever I want, and that the earlier I can experience this total freedom, the better. But we know that freedom is the ability to do what you ought to do the good, to choose the good. And when you're too young to even comprehend your choices, you're too young to be given that complete, really autonomy is a better word, complete sexual autonomy, and to be sort of thrown out there. That's what's happening to these girls, and I think feminism, unfortunately, has perpetuated a lot of this.
Folks, you can read Colleen Carroll Campbell's latest column titled Troubles of Teen Girls Mar Women's Progress under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Colleen Carroll Campbell is a St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
When we come back from this break, it's going to be audio open lines for your questions and your comments. That's something I'd like to lay on the table for you. Well, there's a story from PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly about a diocese, a Catholic archdiocese, that is refusing to work with a teachers union, a Catholic teachers union. You might say Catholic teachers union. Parochial school, religious school teachers, a labor union. It makes me wonder about labor unions in general. I was raised in a right-to-work state in Texas, and labor unions made life a little cheaper but also perhaps a little more precarious. Is there something in the Bible against, or for that matter, for the concept of collective bargaining, labor unions? Are they unchristian? Are they essentially a better way of protecting workers in an adversarial society where it's dog eat dog? When we come back, we'll hear the story from PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly, and I want your answer to those questions. Does God's word forbid or encourage labor unions and collective bargaining? Audio open lines right after this. Talking about the sad girl. Sad girl. Talking about bad girls. Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the Sponsors section of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Sanctity of life not undermined by death.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
In his first trip to France since becoming pontiff in 2005, Pope Benedict XVI addressed the issue of euthanasia and said that in death, humans must accept the hour chosen by God. He spoke to the faithful at Lourdes, the shrine that draws some 6 million pilgrims a year. Many believe that the spring waters there have healing powers. As he administered the sacrament of the sick, Pope Benedict reminded them that dignity never abandons the sick person and called on everyone not to despair of the meaning and value of life, even at life's end.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.